The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Hilchei Shabbos, Simen Pei. Some of the forbidden activities that may not be performed on Shabbos. We're up to the last segment in this very long siman. We're up to Sif Pei. You have a garment, a cloth, which is made to be spread out on top of a barrel, in order to cover it. It's talking about a barrel that contains liquid. If the barrel is not completely full, there is a space of a tefach, a hand's breadth, as we said, between 3 and 4 inches, between the liquid and the covering. As you're not allowed to cover the entire top of the barrel, because it's like one is creating a tent over the contents of the barrel. You should leave part of the mouth of the barrel open. The reason for this number of a tefach is because, as we discussed in the previous segment, the definition of a tent, of a legal oil, is it has to be a cubic tefach of space. And therefore, if you don't have a cubic tefach of space, it can't be an oil. It can't be a legal tent. And therefore, if the liquid comes closer to the top, you don't have a tefach of space between the liquid and the cover. So even if you put the cover on, there is no tent because there is no space of a tefach between... You don't have a cubic tefach. However, once there is a space of the tefach, then you have a potential problem. Now, this is only talking when it's a wide mouth barrel. If the barrel is not, or if you move the barrel from one place to another, then it's a problem also. This is the way the Mishnah Berurah comes out. But if it's a narrow mouth barrel and you didn't move the barrel from one place to another, then just to cover it would not be a problem. And we mentioned in the previous segment, the definition of wide is not so clear. And one should consult with their Rav for their guidance on this issue. Now, there is an opinion that covering a vessel, covering which is made for a vessel, for a container, is not subject to the rules of making a tent, and there's no problem at all in putting a cover on top of the container. And while the Mishnah Berurah says it's best to be strict in this matter, he says one should not protest if somebody is lenient, because there are opinions that are lenient about this. And one more point about this barrel cover. If you have a barrel which is full of liquid, you're not allowed to cover it at all with a cloth that is not designated for the barrel. We discussed earlier that you may come to squeeze it out. And we were talking over here that the cloth is designated to be used as a barrel cover, and obviously since it's designated for that purpose, we're not worried that if it would get wet, you would want to squeeze it out, because that's what it's made for. It's made to be the cover, and understandably, covers or barrels get wet. You obviously don't mind if it gets wet, so we're not worried you're going to come to squeeze it out. Sif Pei Aleph. Kol mechitza ayayal shasur la'asaisa, any partition or any roof that is forbidden to make it on Shabbos, it will also, if it is already made, asur la'asir, you're not allowed to remove it, mishum dehav la'asaisa el, because it's like you're removing, you're demolishing a tent. And therefore, for example, just like it's forbidden to open one's awning, to create an awning on Shabbos, and it's sunny outside, you want to take a cloth and spread it out to create shade. If that cloth was already spread out from before Shabbos, and now it's getting a little chilly and you want to open it up, in order to get some sun, you're not allowed to open it up completely. However, if you leave it partially open, at least the tefach, you didn't completely destroy it. So the same way one is allowed to open it if it's partially, can complete the opening if it's partially open, as we discussed in the previous segment, should be permitted to close it if it's already partially closed. And so you're allowed to leave it partially open, partially closed, and leave it partially open. And therefore, you'd be allowed to roll it up part way and leave it stretched out, a tefach, a hand's breadth. Sif pebeis. Also, in lasseis nichseh, you're not allowed to carry a covering, ha'asu v'hagin ibn yachamah, she is intended to protect you from the sun and the Agashamah from the rain, Shekarin Shirim, always known as an umbrella, because you are making a tent. The intent of this umbrella is to protect you. So even though there are no walls in the umbrella, still it's intended to protect. It's a roof which is intended to protect, and therefore it is forbidden to use such a structure on Shabbos. Sif Pei Gimel. Kemem Shehem Shal Prakim. If you have utensils, vessels, which are made out of pieces, Tchuvim Zebizeh, and they stuck one into the other, even if that's the way in which the nature of this type of item, that's a number of pieces, it's made out of a number of pieces, and they are attached to one another just by virtue of being stuck tightly one into the other. Vinifredu, and they came apart. In Darkon Leah is the Talmud Refuyim, if the normal nature of this type of item is that the pieces are loosely connected one with the other, Mutu Lachazirim Kach, then you're allowed to replace them together in a loose manner. Avon in Darkon Leah is Mehudakim Bechazir, but if they are normally put together very tightly, also Lachazirim, you're not allowed to replace it off field Rifuyim, even if you want to replace it right now loosely. It's still forbidden. And the problem here is because you put it together very tightly, then you have created the vessel, which is a problem. You're not allowed to create, to build on Shabbos. And building a utensil is also considered building for this purpose. And it's makapatish, you're creating a usable item. And that's only if it's put together tightly. If it's put together loosely, then it would inherently not be a problem. Except that we're worried that if you put it together loosely, you may come to put it together tightly, since that is the normal usage, normal nature of this item, and therefore you're not allowed to put it together, even to put it together in a loose fashion. V'chein, so too, in heim chubar ma'idei charitzim, if they're connected through screws, whether it's a separate screw or whether the pieces screw into one into the other, kevin shadakam liyas mehudakam mechazik, since you have screws, generally speaking, they're pretty tight. If they finish screwing together, the pieces fit together very tightly. So in him prudim, so if they are separated, also chabram, you're not allowed to connect them at field roofing. If you want to screw it in only partially and leave it very loose, it's still forbidden because it's normal for you to screw them in completely and they'll end up being tight. And however, kisiyei kelim, the covering of a container, mutal asir, and you're allowed to remove the chen lechabrin, so to connect it, you're allowed to screw on or screw off a cover of a container. Kiyamish ainin asir and lekiyam, since they're not made to last like that, to remain like that, rakla paschan lasasim and tadir, to open them and close them on a frequent basis and a constant basis, so therefore it's permitted, as opposed to a utensil which is made to last. It's made to serve as the utensil, it's made to serve together, even though it also may be intended to be able to be taken apart for purposes of traveling or whatever, but since the nature of the item is to some kind of long-term use, so it's forbidden even to put it together, permission even to put it together loosely. Sif Pei Dalet, Machpesh, a press, as we're talking about a clothing press, that it's made to create creases or to iron out the creases. Create pleats or iron out the creases in one's clothes. The heim shnei luchay ze'alze, and that's referring to two boards, one on top of the other. V'kayv shem b'neim begadim, and you press clothing in between them. And they had some kind of system where they would tightly connect the boards one to the other so that the clothing would be pressed very tightly in between the two boards. And a machbeish yushal ba'avais, if this is a layman's press, it's not a professional press using the dry cleaners. Mutal Pascha, you're allowed to open it up, Lakachas HaBegadim, with Tzeh Shabbos, in order to take out the clothing that you need for Shabbos V'yamtiv. Avo Ein Kaishin, I said, you're not allowed to press them, Lefish Hu Tzarecha, because that's for the needs of the weekday. It seems that it wouldn't get pressed without an extent being there for an extended period of time, so if you're going to put it in on Shabbos, you're not going to have the benefit of this pressing until later. And therefore, it's not permitted to do something now on Shabbos for the purposes of after Shabbos. You're preparing for after Shabbos. But the press of a laundry man or other professionals, the dry cleaners, also, you're not allowed to open it up. Since it is very tightly closed together, Psichasai, opening it, daimilastir, is similar to demolishing. It's as if you're destroying something. Since it's so tightly put together, it almost looks as if it's made together, and when you open it up, it looks like you're destroying that item which was together. And therefore, you're not allowed to open it up. Even if it was open before Shabbos, also a kafas mishamis habigodim mishabbos v'yamtiv, you're not allowed to remove the clothes from it on Shabbos or Yamtiv. Mishum gezerah shemiyave l'paschanata, because of the gezerah, a decree, or that we're worried that you may come to open it right now. The Mishaburah brings that if it's open very wide, everyone's going to agree that it's permitted to remove your garments from there. It's only when it's just open a crack, then that's Mishaburah understands that's when there are Paiskim who forbid you to do it, who forbid you to remove, to take the garments out. But if it's open very widely, then it's not a problem according to everybody. Continues the Kitzur. Sif Pehe. Safso Shenishmita Achas Miraglev. You have a bench, a couch, something you sit on, and one of the feet fell out. So you still have it. It's not broken. It just fell out of the place that it's attached to the bench. Also, Achazimo, you're not allowed to replace the foot, because since it's normal to replace it tightly, to screw it in or to nail it in, so it's forbidden, as we learned earlier, that you're not allowed to put an item back together, even though you're putting it together loosely, if it's normally the normal way of this nature of this item is that it's put together tightly. We're worried you may come to put it together tightly. So too over here, you're not allowed to replace the foot of the couch or the bench even loosely, because of the word, you may come to tighten it. The gam also is somchay al saf salach, you're not even allowed to support it on another bench or another something in order to sit on it, because we're worried that once you start sitting on it, you may come to, if you come to do that, you may come to put the leg in, and that'll be a problem. Elam king fayashav al kach, unless you have already sat on it once before Shabbos in this manner, that this, let's say your couch was supported by another little stool, and you did that before Shabbos, and you sat on it before Shabbos, in that state, then we're not so worried you're going to come to put the leg in, because we're used to it already. You already receive that you're willing to sit on it, even without the leg being in. You're allowed to put a board on top of stools or benches or on top of pieces of wood, but you prepared them before Shabbos for this purpose, so they're not muktzah. So that's permitted because there's nothing here which you normally fit together tightly. It's not like the leg of a couch, which is normally stuck in the couch tightly or nailed into the couch. Over here, you're just creating a brand new bench with things that are not made to be put together tightly because they're not made together at all. So that would be permitted to put it together. Not to put together, to put one on top of the other in order to sit on it. Additionally, the place can tell us if the leg of your couch broke, and then it will be permitted to support it with something and to sit on it, because we're not worried you can actually fix the leg. The most we're worried is that you'll stick it in, you know, put it in tightly back into the couch, where put it in the spot where it belongs. Once the leg is completely broken and it won't fit back in, you can't put it back in unless you go and you fix it. You have to get a replacement leg or do some serious work in order to fix the leg. Then it's permitted, because when we're not worried that you're going to go that far to do so much work on Shabbos to fix the leg. You still need to remember it's Shabbos by that time, and you realize you're not allowed to do it. But if it's just a little broken, and really it still works, that's what we're talking about over here, since you still could stick it back in the couch or into the bench, so it's still forbidden. Continues the Kitzur, Sif Pei Vav. Utensil which tells the time, otherwise known as a watch or a clock. Even if it's still going, it's still ticking, it's going to be the old-fashioned wind-up clocks. Now there's a fancier wind-up watches or clocks that in order to keep running, the spring has to be wound up. So even while it's still running, also you're not allowed to wind it further on Shabbos and Yom Tov, in order to prevent it from running down, because it's like you are making the kli usable. It's like you're making the watch usable because you are causing it to continue to run. So even though right now it was running already, since through your act it's going to continue running longer than it would have otherwise, it's forbidden. Or B'yamtiv Sheni, Yishlohakel, the Kitzur tells on Yamtiv Sheni, the second day of Yamtiv, outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is rabbinic, of rabbinic origin, so you could be lenient and you could wind up the watch, Kol Zman Sha'adayin Helech, as long as it's still ticking, as long as the watch is still working, so it's permissible to wind it up with Tzerech Hayom if you need it for today. Meaning if it's going to wind down today, you know that it's going to run out in a few hours before the end of the Yom Tov, so then while it's still in good working order, you're allowed to wind it up so that it will remain usable for the rest of Yom Tov. But if it won't wind down until Yom Tov, until after Yom Tov is over, you're not allowed to wind it up now for the benefit of after Yom Tov. For the needs of a sick person, you could permit this under all circumstances. You can't find a non-Jew easily, then you could do it yourself as long as it's still running. Meaning, if you could find a non-Jew is preferable to find a non-Jew to do this. If, however, you cannot, then you could do it yourself. Since it is still running, we don't treat it as if you're really creating the object, making it usable, since it already was in use. So while we normally would not allow you to do this in this case, because for the needs of a sick person, it is permissible. Obviously, we're talking here that the need means something to do with his sickness, his illness. He just wants to see the time, and he's not that sick that he's going to affect his health if he can't tell the time. He's curious. So that would be forbidden, but for some purpose, he has to know when to take his medicine or something like that. So then it would be permissible. Sif Pei Zayin. Also, Lashmiya Kol Shel Shir B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to create a musical sound on Shabbos, B'Kli, either with a utensil, an instrument. If it's not specifically an instrument, but it's some type of utensil you're using to create the sound, like Be'Varo, but with any of your body parts, Chutz Mipiv, except for your mouth. You're not allowed to sing or even to whistle on Shabbos, but to make music with other parts of your body is forbidden. Even to snap your fingers one against the other, or to drum your fingers against the board, in order to make a sound, a musical sound, or to rattle nuts, or a bell for a child, because it shouldn't cry, like using a rattle on Shabbos to soothe a crying baby, that is all forbidden because it's a positive sound as opposed to noise you're just doing in order to wake somebody up or in order to let people know that you're here, as in when you knock on the door to get into a house, which we'll talk about in the next sif, which is permissible. But if it's we'll call white noise or certainly musical, soothing noise, that is forbidden. It's forbidden to create such a noise on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to shake or rattle for a baby. The baby could shake the rattle. You don't have to stop the baby. They're below the age when you're obligated to teach them not to do malacha, not to do forbidden activities on Shabbos. So you certainly allow the baby to shake its own rattle, but for you to shake the rattle for the baby would be forbidden, as well as to drum, to clap rhythmically, to snap rhythmically. Those are all forbidden. You're not allowed to clap your hands one on top of the other. You're not allowed to dance. And all of these are forbidden because you may come to make a musical instrument. That's what the Talmud teaches us. And therefore, you're not allowed, making a musical instrument will be forbidden because you're making a utensil, making an item on Shabbos is forbidden. And therefore, you're not allowed to do anything, to create any musical sound because you may come to make or to fix an instrument. Well, the Kavod HaTorah, but for the honor of the Torah, Mutar L'Tapeach L'Rak, it's permissible to clap or to dance. And that's what we do on Simchas Torah, that we clap and we dance, and it's permissible and there's no problem with it. If you are making noise for a child, you're clapping for a child in order that he shouldn't cry, we're not going to protest if one wants to do so, since there are those who permit it. Kitzur seems to favor the stricter opinion, but he says we're not going to prevent you from doing it, we're not going to protest since there are those who are lenient about this topic. Now, you will find that many people aren't lenient about these things, and there is an opinion that's permissible to clap and the like, since nowadays we're not so familiar with making musical instruments, so therefore the rabbinic decree no longer applies. If one has such a custom, then one can be lenient like such a custom. Otherwise, before starting, one should not take up that custom unilaterally. The simple reading of the halacha is certainly that is forbidden. Sif peches. Kol she'eino derech she'ef. A sound which is not musical. Mutzal hashmi is permissible to create such a sound. Lachen, and therefore, mutzal b'hakesh ha'adolos, you're allowed to knock on a door, k'dei she'yiftechu, in order that they should open up for you. Ukiyetziv is anything similar, so even though you're making a noise, making a sound, but it's not a musical noise and it's permissible. The Yishar are those who say, she'afal p'yachen, that even so, even though it's not a musical noise, also, Lashmiya Kol B'Kliyam Yuch L'Kach, you're not allowed to make a sound with a designated noise-producing object. For example, Lahakesh Aladelas B'Tabas HaKavuaba, there's a ring, a knocker, that's fixed on the door, it's intended to knock and to create a sound, that would be forbidden. By the Paman of Yuch L'Zer, with a ringer, a bell, which is designated to ring, that would be forbidden. The Chayn Oysen Klisha is those clocks, that they're made to chime out, to ring out the hours. Through pushing them, you pull some kind of string, and that creates a sound that causes the bells to chime. So that would be forbidden. That's forbidden, even though your intent is not to make a musical sound, it's just to hear the information and what time it is. It's still forbidden to do that because we are strict like this opinion that if it's a type of item which is intended, designated, to create sound, then you're not allowed to use such a type of item on Shabbos. Sif peta. A mishame peris, when he was guarding his fruits, his rhyme, his plants, to protect them from wild animals or from birds, he should not clap his hands. Strike his palm against his thigh. For Iraqi Viraglovian shouldn't dance stamp with his feet, in order to chase away the animal or the bird, the way we would normally do it during the week. And even though this has nothing to do with music, the reason is because you may pick up a rock to throw it at the animal. The next step, if the animal doesn't pay attention to your clapping, you may come to pick up a rock. So if you do what you normally do during the week, you may forget yourself and do the next step that you would normally do during the week, which is to throw something at the animal, and picking up a rock is forbidden, it's mukta, and that would be a problem. It's just really more severe if it's a resistant abdomen, if it's an area you're not allowed to carry. So then, by throwing it, you would be transgressing the prohibition against hatzah, carrying on Shabbos, and that would be a problem. Sif tzadi. Ein shechakim be'egezim. You're not allowed to play with nuts. That creates a behem. Or anything similar, it's like a game of jacks or something similar. Agave karka on the ground, a dirt floor. A few roots, even if it's not a dirt floor, even if it's tiled, it's paved, it's still forbidden because the problem is that if it's a dirt floor, then you may come to smooth out a playing field, which is a problem. You're smoothing out the ground, then it's a malacha of building if it's in your house, or a malacha of chayrish, of plowing if it's outside the house. And therefore, it's forbidden to play such a game on the floor. Still, in Limchais Benashim of Tanim, you shouldn't protest against women or children who are playing such games, because we're certainly not going to listen. I'm talking about a situation where we're certainly not going to listen. If you know your family will listen to you, certainly you should teach them not to do it. And Mutash, you're showing how humans do this, and they're definitely not going to listen. It's better they do it accidentally, not realizing they're doing something wrong, rather than be told they're doing something wrong and they're going to do it anyway. And that would make them amazed, that would make them willful transgressors, and that is worse, and therefore you should not tell them. But again, if you think they won't listen to you, certainly you should teach them that it is also, that it's forbidden, and hopefully they'll listen, they won't do it. However, on the table top, it is certainly permitted. If you're not worried, you'll put it on the floor. That's not a problem. Sif Tzadi Aleph. The Indian people regarding folding clothing, there are many details and differences And therefore, it's a complicated topic. Therefore, just don't fold any garments on the creases. However, the place can permit you to fold the garments off the creases or against the creases. That would be permitted. Sif Tzavi Beis. Tamish Achaz Bahar. If you have a garment which caught on fire, Mutun Lishbe Chalea Shar Mashim, you'll have to put other types of liquids besides water. Shemoy B'makim Eish, not directly on the fire. When the fire reaches the wet part of the garment, it'll be extinguished. And the reason it's permitted is because pouring other liquids onto the garment makes it dirty. It doesn't cleanse the garment, so you have not transgressed the prohibition against cleansing. And since you're not directly extinguishing the fire, it's indirect, so it's okay. Avonayim, but to pour water, also it's mishpach is forbidden to pour water on it, because pouring water on a garment, as we discussed in an earlier segment in this simon, is forbidden because that itself cleanses the garment. Soaking a garment in water is itself part of the cleansing process and is therefore forbidden. And therefore you have to go find some other type of liquid. Sif Tzavi Gimel. In Matziyah Netamita Mishabas on Leitzoy Shabbos, you're not allowed to make the beds from Shabbos for the purposes of after Shabbos. The only reason you're doing it is to be able to go to, normally you make your beds before you go to sleep, let's say. And you want to do it now so that when you go to sleep tonight, after Shabbos, it'll be all ready for you. So that is forbidden because that's preparing for after Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. The Abba Pishyei Shohos B'yarim Sh'yuchan Lishan Olah, the Shabbos Atzma, even though there's plenty of time during the rest of Shabbos that you would be able to sleep if you so chose. As for example, you're making the beds in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and there's the whole Shabbos. If you wanted to take a nap, you could benefit from this making of the beds. Mikamokim still came and changed that to unleash the noise, since you have no intention of sleeping there, if that's the case. Ad-Mitzay Shabbos until after Shabbos. Harehu Mechem is Shabbos L'chol, but also it comes out that you are preparing from Shabbos for the weekday and is forbidden. Obviously, if you do intend to sleep, there is certainly no problem. You're allowed to make the beds in the morning for the afternoon. If you then change your mind, it won't be a problem since you made the beds with the intentions of sleeping there. It was for the purposes of Shabbos. Additionally, if you're making the beds in the room you'll be in, and it's an eyesore, you're just making it to, because that's the way you get you spruce up the room in the morning. It's not for the purpose of sleeping at night. It's just the room looks presentable. So that is permissible since it's for the purpose of Shabbos and not for the purpose of after Shabbos.